Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Looking this morning at tipping the scales or crashing the scales. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. I pray now that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts from it, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, Who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out, and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, For my what? Righteousness. The Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the what? The wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for what? Thy righteousness, for thou art a what? Stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Tipping the scales or trashing the scales. We are so prone to measure our success or what we deem as failure by the scales of the world. We were talking about this in our Sunday school class today. How would you determine whether your life is successful or not? Or a failure or not? Well, too often we look at the world and we allow them to put us on their scales, or the old scales weren't the ones you just jump on and adjust the knob. The old scales were two containers, whatever, and just a pivot point. And in the Bible, that's why the Bible talks about having a just weight. In other words, you're supposed to put an honest weight on one side, so what you weigh equals. If you get gasoline, you'll find that some man has signed his name on a seal on that pump, and he has come with his official measuring device and checked out that pump and see if it's actually putting out what it says. If it says 1 gallon, is it actually giving you a gallon, or is it giving you 3 quarts? And so he signs that seal and puts it on there that it's accurate. And there's wherever people sell things, they have to have the scales checked periodically to make sure they're not off, and so people are getting an honest weight or measurement. And so, as Brother Jim so fitly mentioned this morning, we can't go to the world for their opinion on whether we're going to heaven, because they're using this old measuring, weighing system, and they are putting what they want on one side. And of course, what they think is that if our good outweighs our bad, then God will let us into heaven. And those are the scales this morning that need to be trashed. That idea needs to be trashed because it's just not true at all, as we're going to see. We got our van back this week. A lot of you, I guess, noticed it out there. But what I noticed in the body shop was On the wall, they have a mission statement, and just in the first line or two there, it has the word God. They want to be in business to please God. And that's kind of rare, isn't it, in this day and age? I mean, it seems like a lot of people want to be in business to make money, and they do have later in their mission statement to be able to turn a profit. And obviously, if you can't turn a profit, you can't pay the electric bill, and you can't pay your employees and so on. So that enters in. But I was pleased to see that God was first in their mission statement there. Notice something in Colossians 3. In life, that is our biggest challenge. And true success is pleasing God. Remember, we looked at just a couple weeks ago that in Revelation 4:11, that we were created for God's pleasure. And when we try to do other things in life that are not pleasing to God, it never brings us happiness. Happiness is such a relative term, as we saw in Sunday school as well. It's changing. Had to list in our Sunday school some things that people would think bring success, and one of the things that was put on the board was shooting a big buck. And the problem is this. There's always someone that gets a bigger one somewhere. And then once you get a big buck, then, well, the next day, now what? You know, you have to search for something else. But Colossians 3:22. Servants, do what? Obey. In all things, your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as what? Men pleasers. So, as servants, we're not just to please men. But it goes on, but in singleness of heart, fearing who? God. So all of our mission statement should be to please God first and foremost. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it what? Heartily. As to who? The Lord, and not unto who? Men. Have you ever seen a child eat heartily? I mean, they're starved. You know, they're just gobbling that food down. You wonder how they can even breathe. They're just eating it so fast. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That should be the way we are. You know, whatever job we have, we should do it heartily. I used to work in construction with my dad and my older brother, and for a period of time in the early to mid 70s, my dad got lined up with a company that offered whole house packages. And I mean, I'm talking about everything to build the house, even carpet, appliances, all the electrical, I mean, just everything. And it came on two semis. The first semi brought all the wood. That was our part. It was our job to roughen the house, to put it on the floor and the walls, inside and outside walls, and the rafters and the plywood and the shingles, and all put in all the windows and doors and siding. We were to have that house all buttoned up on the outside, locked up, and then it was their job to finish the inside. And young couples could get that for $100 down. And that was really something. And so my dad sold a lot of those house packages, and we kept really busy until times got a little tougher and people were not willing to loan out money to build a whole house for $100 down. And but one thing I noticed along the way is we were given a certain amount of money to work with. It was by the square foot. So my brother and I, and sometimes we had different helpers and that we worked with. And so whatever size that house was, there was a certain amount of money. And if we worked, verse 23, heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, we made well. But sometimes my dad had workers working with him. And he went behind, just paying wages. And so that's why when he finally had to go say, well, there's only this amount allotted, so this is what we got to work with. And And when we obeyed verse 23 and got rid of some of the dead weight off the crew, we actually made very well for back in those days because we worked heartily. In fact, we got done with the house. Down toward Lowell. And it was just a small house. But on Monday morning we started, and Friday night everything was done. I mean, the house was up, it was shingled, sided, everything. And the guy's father-in-law was just amazed. It was like back in Nehemiah, you know, just it was only of the Lord. And the guy's father-in-law says, "It can't be a good house. They built it too fast." And so, well, look it over, you know, look it over. But that's verse 23. We're to work heartily as to the Lord, not for men, not to men, but as if we were working for the Lord himself. And back in those days, most time we had to work off generator because we couldn't get the power company to get there fast enough to get the electricity hooked up. So most time is working by generator. But I would notice so many times, and I'm just not just trying to pick on the power company, but we would notice so many times the power company truck would get there and the guys would sit in the truck for a good while. And then finally they'd get out and look the situation over, and then sometimes they'd get back in the truck. And so we kind of realized why it was so slow to get electricity hooked up. And so years later then, what we saw was that power company was subbing out that work. And you know what the difference was? They came in their own trucks. Those guys jumped out of the truck, and in 2 hours' time, they had the wire strung and the power up, compared to the regular power company could take all day or maybe come back the next day. And so they were not obeying verse 23. And so what happened is that power company started subbing it out to people who would work, and their own men got left behind. So the Lord is our boss. When it comes to the scale system, we just can't compare ourselves to others. At times, we may think we are successful when actually we're not, according to the Bible. And at other times, we may think we're a failure and we're all discouraged and forlorn. And when in fact, maybe in God's eyes, we are a success, but we're looking too much at the world for them to set the official weight of measurement to see if we match up. So if one of the requirements to attend church was that we all had to jump on the scales when we came, I suppose some people in this world would get offended and, you know, they'd say, "Well, I'm not going to church if I have to jump on the scales." But they go to the doctor, and isn't that the first thing he asks you to do? Jump on the scales. "Well, I'm not going back to this doctor anymore." Well, and we're not going to get scales here. Don't get worried. But what I'm trying to get you to see is this. It's the same way. If it was a requirement, if right inside the front door, or maybe if it was outside the door, if you had to jump on the scales or you couldn't go in, a lot of people would not go in. But it's the same thing with heaven, only even worse. If there was a scale system that to which we had to meet up or measure up, weigh up, none of us would get into heaven because we all come short of the glory of God, every one of us. Notice Romans chapter 3. None of us would be allowed into heaven if we had to weigh in. If it was Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come what? Short of what? The glory of God." Several of you this morning have said to me about the van. Some of you have said it looks brand new. After, you know, we hit the deer and the body shop fixed it up. And some of you have said it looks brand new. Some of you said it looks nice. They did. They did a good job on it. But they got that front end all fixed up so nice. And then last night I was washing it, And I noticed on the passenger side down low, when we bought the van, there was a dent in it. And I thought, why didn't I say something to them? As long as they had the paint sprayer out, why didn't I say something to them about, hey, fix that little dent on the other side, would you? And I thought, I should have done that. But, you know, the front end looks so glorious now, but then I look at this that dent on the side and I thought, And you know what? Only when we stand before the Lord one day will we realize His glory. It is complete perfection. And verse 23, we fall so far short of that. Notice with me in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. People need to trash their scale idea. They've got this idea, and I would suspect most people in this world have this idea that if your good works outweigh your bad works, you'll go to heaven. And they need to trash that idea because it is just not so. Verse 48, Matthew 5, 48. Be ye therefore what? Perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is what? Perfect. And that is the glory that we fall so far short. We are not perfect. Oh, we may get the front, we may try to polish the front, but there's so many dents and scars in our lives. So many. And we need someone to cleanse us because we can't do it ourselves. Matthew 19. Matthew 19. No one would ever get into heaven if we had to weigh in before we walk in. None of us. If we had to weigh in and see our net value and our net goodness, none of us would make it. Too far short. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, what kind of master? Good master. What does he say? Good thing. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? You see, he had this idea, this young man. What can I weigh in? What can I do to get to heaven? Verse 17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but what? One. And that is who? God. None of us are good. We've come short. Oh, maybe from one angle we look new. But look from the other angle. No, we're far short. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, what? All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Sometimes we ask people, are you sure you're going to heaven or are you saved? And sometimes people will say, I've always been saved. Well, no one has always been saved. We were born in sin. He says, I've kept all these from my youth up. So Jesus has to teach this young man a lesson here. He thought he was pretty good. He thought he had obeyed all the commandments. Like there's a lot of people that really think, hey, I've kept the commandments. But what was the last commandment that Jesus mentioned there in verse 19? Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus, from his response, the young man's response there in verse 20, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Jesus knows this young man has not kept all these laws, but he's got to show him somehow how he has not kept all these laws. So Jesus chose the last one to center on. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So in verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be what? Perfect. Go and sell that thou hast and give to who? The poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. So Jesus wants to illustrate to this young man, you think you've kept all these laws, but I need to show you how you haven't. So, okay, you're a wealthy young man. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. In other words, reverse roles. Do you really love your neighbor as yourself? Then prove it. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now they have and you don't. If you love your neighbor as yourself, switch roles with them. Give them your nice house. You take theirs. Give them your nice clothes. You take their rags. Give them the little bit of food you have, or give them all of the great amount of food you have and take their little bit. When we went to Haiti on a mission trip and saw Brother Walt, one of the pastors there wanted to feed us after Sunday service. And they are so poor, and we really didn't want to do it because they are so dirt poor. And Brother Wall was having back trouble at that time, so he had to actually stay back to their home. But Mrs. Wall and the others were there with our group, and she said, if you don't go to his house and eat, you'll offend him. I said, okay, we'll go. And so, but this preacher was so poor. This, you ladies in your kitchen, this pastor's wife's kitchen was outside. It was not in the home, it was outside. Just kind of a thatch, or I don't know if they have bamboo in Haiti, but it just something like that was kind of covering up what was supposed to be a kitchen. And he got some plates. I don't know where he got these plates from, but there wasn't enough. Brother Jerry Snyder was on that trip with us. And so it's the first time I've ever ate off from another preacher's plate. Amen. Brother Jerry held on the plate, and we was eating off the same plates because he didn't have enough plates. So Jesus is trying to teach this young man an example. Do you really love your neighbor as yourself? Trade places. Live in their conditions and let them live in your conditions. Well, come to find out, he wasn't quite so perfect, was he? Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away, what? Sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Come to find out, he really didn't love his neighbor as himself. He really didn't. And you know what? With each one of these laws, we all are spiritually bankrupt. We are far from perfect. And if we had to weigh in, if there was a true and just scales to weigh into us personally to get into heaven, none of us would go. None of us. Because we all are so far from perfection. So the young man went away. Verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a what? A camel to go through the what? Eye of a needle. How many of you men can thread a needle real fast? One that works with it, amen. You know, I've tried that at times. You know, you cut the thread and you try to wet it and you try to get it through that little eye. Jesus is talking about a camel. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You're never going to get a camel through the eye of a needle. Verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can what? Be saved. His disciples said, what? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Well, then what person could ever be saved? Notice what Jesus responds. Verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is what? Impossible. With men, this is impossible. What is impossible? For man to save himself. It's impossible for man to be perfect. It's impossible for man to fully, wholly, totally keep the law. It is impossible. But with God, what? All things are possible. There's only one that can save. There's only one that is perfect, and that is Jesus Christ. His disciples, they're amazed at what Jesus says here. So this weighing in to get into heaven, need to trash those scales, because that is a totally false idea. No one would ever get in. But many people are going to try it. Look at Matthew 7. Amazingly, many are going to try it. This last week, we had a man right from Ireland to get some gospel literature. And I don't know how much went out Thursday night, and I don't know if that was a record, but there was a lot of boxes anyway. And I was tempted to count it up, and then I ran out of time, and I thought, well, maybe the Lord didn't want me to count it up. But just, I have never seen a load go out like that. We're going to have to pick up a collection, buy Mrs. Gaffney a truck if this keeps on, because there was a lot of boxes that went out. But anyway, this man from Ireland wrote for literature, and he said he went to a Pentecostal church, but the beliefs he stated were different than what the Pentecostals believed. So I just wrote back and said, you know, we send out this literature free of charge. It's like a missionary outreach for us, and that's why we check out what people believe. And so I said, your beliefs do not match up to the Pentecostal church. And so he wrote back and said, well, it was a short note just saying, well, you know, I don't necessarily agree with all these things, and I don't necessarily agree with all your things. And so I wrote back in greater detail telling him the importance of doctrine. And then I got a nasty letter back, and he started out saying, I don't need anyone to teach me. And went on railing, so just, that's what the delete button is for, you know, just, okay. Well, you know what? I do have need of teaching. I do need to be taught. I haven't arrived, and you know what? Neither is he. We are all so far short of God's glory. We all need a spirit of humility. We all need to be willing to be taught from the Lord. We need to be more like Mary. She sat at the feet of Jesus learning. There's so much more to learn. There's so many more verses to remember where they are. I wish I knew where they all were. Years ago, back in the late 70s, a book was written about Jack Minipi, and the title of it was, they call him the Walking Bible. He had so many verses memorized. Well, nobody's ever called me a walking Bible. There are so many more verses I need to memorize. There are so many more verses I need to learn, not only where they are, but what they really mean. And it's as I prepare for messages, I learn. And sometimes when I've studied and when I'm up here preaching, I see new things even yet, and I share them with you. They're not even in my notes because I didn't see it. And that's the way I must confess to you, that will be my whole life long. There's more to learn. There's more to learn. But in Matthew 7, verse 21, these people are going to go before the Lord and think they're going to weigh in themselves, and they're not going to make it. Verse 21 of Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall what? Enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we got to get that down. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the first word of verse 22? Many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not what? Prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have what? Cast out devils, and in thy name done what? Many wonderful works. You know what they're doing? They're weighing in. They're trying to weigh in at heaven's gates. They're trying to say, well, Lord, I've prophesied in your name. And of course, these are the exact three things the charismatics emphasize, and they would call this speaking in tongues. Why, Lord, I spoke in tongues all these times. You've got to let me into heaven. Boy, look at the scales tip. Wow, I've really prophesied a lot. And not only that, Lord, but I've cast out devils in your name. Wow, look at those scales now. They're really looking good in my favor. But not only that, I've done wonderful works in your name, Lord. All the people I've prayed for and they've been healed, look at this, Lord. You've got to let me in. Look at this impressive sight. What's he going to say? Verse 23. Then why profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. He's not going to say, well, I once knew you, but, you know, you committed this or that sin. No, he says, I never knew you. In other words, these people were never saved. That's correct. These people who are always talking about the Lord. The Lord's going to say, I never knew you. And then what's he going to say? Depart from ye that work what? Iniquity. How can it be working iniquity, doing something in the Lord's name? Well, it's exactly like using someone else's credit card to buy a whole bunch of good things for people. Now, I suppose there's a lot of families that would like a turkey for this Thanksgiving Day. But you know what? If you were to take someone else's credit card and go to Meijer's and say, I'll take the whole bin, I'll give them away. The problem is you don't have the authority to use someone else's card. And these people had no authority to do anything in the Lord's name because they didn't know him. They were just getting in on the crowd, just the excitement. A lot of people are just following the excitement of these charismatic type churches. They're just following the excitement of the crowd. So notice in Titus chapter 3, the bottom line is this. It is not our works that tips the scale. It is not our works being weighed in to get us into heaven. It is Jesus' work, finished work on the cross. That's the only thing that will gain us entrance into heaven. Titus 3, in verse 3. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes what? Foolish. What else? Disobedient. What else? Deceived. Who is this? We ourselves, serving divers what? Lusts and pleasures, living in what? Malice and what? Envy. What's the next word? Hateful and hating one another. That describes our fleshly lives. We're so far from perfect. We would be just like if we were to stand up and say, well, I've never hated anyone. You know what the Lord could easily do? Just like he did with that young man. He could bring up something in our lives to show us, you know what? You weren't loving this person. He could easily come up with that. Verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of who? God our Savior. We don't love as we ought to love. But there's someone who does. And it's God our Savior. Jesus is God. He's not just a prophet. He is God, our Savior. And toward man appeared not by works of what? Righteousness, which who? We have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through who? Jesus Christ, our Savior. that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So it's not by our works. Yes, once he has saved us, we should go on and live holy lives, but it's not our works. Notice in Psalm 71, David testifies of this. Was he a man after God's own heart? Yes, but he wasn't trusting in his own righteousness. Psalm 71:16. I will go in the strength of who? The Lord God. I will make mention of what? Thy righteousness, even of thine only. Thine only. And in closing, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A lot of people will probably be concerned with what the scales read this week. It's Thanksgiving time. They might not want to weigh in after Thursday, maybe until the following week. But while they're thinking on it, there's something more important than that. It's something more important than these earthly scales. It's this idea of heavenly scales that they have that's deceived their thinking. Thinking if just somehow they can just somehow come out with a little more good works than bad works so that God will let them into heaven. They need to trash that idea. It's never, never going to work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of who? Of God. Who hath reconciled us to himself by who? Jesus Christ. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in him. That last verse, he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's only one way to enter into heaven, and that is to be declared perfect without sin. And we fall far short of that. There's only one way, verse 21, to receive that rating, if you please. It's being found in him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's only one way to be declared righteous, and that is through the only one that is. There is none good but one that is God. God, our Savior. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And in a week when many people will be encouraged or discouraged by what the scales read, I pray you'd help us to realize, Lord, there's a far, far greater error. There's far greater problem. People's ideas of an eternal scale. Thinking that somehow they'll weigh in and be invited in to heaven. And they will not. Lord, we come so far short of your glory. I pray that you would help us. And Lord, help us to be able to take the true message to a world that is so deceived. And may we go forth preaching your righteousness, yours alone. And may you help us to live godly, holy lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.